God is a lot of things. Pastor Al Pittman reminds us today that God is magnanimous.
It's good to know that we serve a magnanimous God, amen? And no matter what our situations are, no matter how overwhelming a problem is, and the devil's coming to get you like a flood, you can say, but my God is magnanimous. He's not just good, he's magnanimous. He does above and beyond what I could ask or even think. Doesn't matter what you bring against me, what weapon is formed against me, my God's magnanimous grace and power and love is able to overcome all of those things. Amen. I'm glad he's magnanimous. I like that word. I'm going to use that for a while. Amen.
Dwelling place.
Have you ever had someone question the goodness of God by saying something like, "If God is so good, why is the world so bad? And why do the wicked prosper and good people suffer?" Let's talk about that next on The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman. We're in the middle of Al's study of the Psalms right now, and we'll be turning to Psalm 102 for an intriguing study on the goodness of God. As we look around the world today, we see viral pandemics, violence, racial tension, and bad people prospering. As we see this, it would be easy for us to scratch our head in confusion and wonder why. The psalmist went through this struggle, as we're about to see. Here's Pastor Al Pittman in Psalm 102.
Psalm 102, a prayer of the afflicted when he is overwhelmed and pours out his complaint before the Lord. That's a long title. But that's exactly what this psalm is about. It's a prayer of the afflicted, a psalm for the afflicted. Some believe that this psalm was written during the Babylonian captivity. They cite verse 13 of this psalm where it says, "You will arise and have mercy on Zion for the time to favor her. Yes, the set time has come." And we'll explain that a little further as we get into the text. One commentator writes that it is the voice, this psalm is the voice of one suffering in Babylon, the Babylonian captivity where the children of Judah were carried away into captivity, which is modern day Iraq, that far from Jerusalem. And they didn't have airplanes and trains and, you know, they walked all that way and carried into captivity by the Babylonians. And this commentator says, it is the voice of one suffering in Babylon, mourning over his own afflictions and those of his nation. So that's kind of the context of this particular psalm being written. The psalm could be categorized as a psalm for those who find themselves overwhelmed by trials and tribulations of life, longing for Zion, the place of God's abiding presence. And so if you're going through a difficult time tonight, trials and tribulation, this psalm's for you. Not this bud's for you, but this psalm's for you. Amen. And may it be a blessing to you. It's pretty deep. It's not a flowery psalm, but it speaks of his situation and all. But it, at the same time, gives us hope. Verses 1 to 3, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my cry come to you. Do not hide your face from me in the day of my trouble." Not anybody else's trouble. This is personal. "Lord, in the day of my trouble, incline your ear to me in the day that I call. Answer me speedily, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth." And this is true desperation, to say the least. A time when we are not looking for God's presence, but his presence. Big difference. We're not looking for something from his hand, but Lord, I'm looking for your heart. A time of great desperation. A place where religiosity ceases. And we are desperate for that which only God can provide. Notice, it doesn't sound like the psalmist has a lot of time here. "Answer me speedily," he says. You know, there's those times where you can say, Lord, I just place it in your hands. But then those times where you're screaming, Lord, help. You know, it's kind of like the prayer of Peter when he was drowning, when he was walking on the water. One of the most sincerest prayers ever prayed. You know, Lord, help. You know, that's all he could get out. And God heard his prayer. This is a desperation prayer. Lord, I need you to come see about me, like, speedily, real soon. It's an urgent 911 call, if you will, to heaven. Verse 3, he says, for my days are consumed like smoke, and my bones are burned like a hearth. And literally, my days are worthless, consumed into smoke. Everything that I thought I had is going up, Lord, in smoke. Desperate situation. And David cried out in Psalm 51, verse 12, do not cast me away from your generous spirit. Psalm 51, verse 12, do not cast me away from your generous spirit. Amen, Lord, you're generous. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 51, verse 12, and the word generous is interesting in Psalm 51, 12. It can also be translated magnanimous. I love that word. Lord, I need you to be magnanimous. The psalmist says in Psalm 102 here is relying upon God's magnanimous grace and love and power and peace to deliver him in the day of his trouble. It's good to know that we serve a magnanimous God. Amen. And no matter what our situations are, no matter how overwhelming a problem is, and the devil's coming to get you like a flood, you can say, but my God is magnanimous. He's not just good, he's magnanimous. He does above and beyond what I could ask or even think. Doesn't matter what you bring against me, what weapon is formed against me, my God's magnanimous grace and power and love is able to overcome all of those things. Amen. I'm glad he's magnanimous. I like that word. I'm going to use that for a while. Amen. No matter what our circumstances are, he does above and beyond what we ask or think. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 tells us that. The psalmist goes on here in verse 4 and says, my heart is stricken and withered like grass, so that I forget to eat my bread. Because the sound of my groaning, my bones cling to my skin. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake, and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. What does that all mean? Well, he's describing his great sorrow. My heart is stricken, literally, as one who has suffered a stroke from the sun. He is without appetite. His physical condition and the condition of his fellow countrymen are horrendous. It is similar to the physical description. As we read here in verse 5, he says, my bones cling to my skin. It's similar to the description, physical description of the inhabitants of Jerusalem in the aftermath of the Babylonian victory over that city. Now, the Babylonians came in and ravaged. They had Jerusalem under siege, and then he came in and ravaged Jerusalem and all. And in the aftermath, in Jeremiah the prophet's lamentation, as he lamented in the book of Lamentation, chapter 4, verse 8, he describes the condition of the people this way. He says, now their appearance is blacker than soot. They go unrecognized in the streets. Their skin clings to their bones. It has become as dry as wood. Sometimes we forget just these are people that suffered in those times, and the description that Jeremiah gives us is like the description we find here in verse 5, that this is a very horrific time. And the psalmist in verse seemed to be describing in verse 5 the latter stage of starvation. And when a human goes from prolonged periods without food, the body goes through four stages of starvation. The first stage lasts about 2 weeks. The second stage begins after 2 weeks and is marked by bouts of weakness in addition to hunger. The third stage, the body has fully entered its starvation mode and is burning its fat reserves for energy. And the final stage, after the body has depleted its fat reserves and supplies of waste tissue, the body begins to cannibalize healthy tissue for energy. And then the appearance of the body is that of skin and bones and organs ending in death. So when he talks about skin hanging on bones or bones, him being skin and bones here. My bones cling rather to my skin, or literally my flesh. He's probably in the fourth stage of starvation. And yet we'll see his hope is still in God. It's a horrific situation, so we don't need to, you know, color code it or paint it over and look at it through rose colored glasses. He's not only suffering spiritually because, as we'll see, the plight of Israel, but also he's suffering physically. You know, I know it's one thing for me to suffer spiritually, for me to suffer spiritual attack, but don't let me have the flu with it. You know, boy, it just like compounds. You know what I'm saying? And I'm a big baby anyway when I get sick, you know. And you know, us guys, you know, we think we're all tough and all that. And women can birth children into the world and, you know, jump up a couple of days later and be going and around and all. But us guys, we get a little flu. You know, little babies, and that's me. It's like, and then, you know, you got spiritual attacks too. It's like, man, you know, you become suicidal. You know, I'm just joking, but I mean, you just, this is a tough time that he's going through. I'm trying to get you to see that. It's not some little walk in the park or, you know, a little vacation to Babylon. You know, they're going through a really horrific time. But Israel's plight was due to their willingness to forsake the word of God. And sometimes I hear of believers who leave the world just, I think, before their time. And I wonder, Lord, and I know they loved you, Lord. I know that they were believers, but they've got out there in the world or they backslid or whatever, and things happened to them. And it leaves me wondering, you know, boy, was that person really a Christian? And it's like, Lord says, it's not for you to know.
We'll stop here for a few moments, but let's consider for a moment what Pastor Al just said. We don't know the state of anyone else's heart. Only God knows that. But we can certainly see the consequences of a nation and a world that turns its collective back on God. At The Dwelling Place, we count on the support of our listeners, both financially and through prayer. In these trying economic times, we know it's difficult for many to make ends meet right now. But if you'd like to make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Here's Pastor Al Pittman once again with the second half of today's message in Psalm 102.
There are times, I think sometimes, when we get ourselves in situations, even as believers, you know, and we suffer unnecessarily. And Israel is suffering now under Babylonian captivity as a result of them willingly forsaking the word of God. And this graphic description given to us in verse 5 is illustrative of what happens to us spiritually when we reject the authority of God's word in our own lives. We grow spiritually emaciated and malnourished. Now maybe we're, you know, we're eating and all and we're doing fine that way, but spiritually what God sees is that our spiritual skin is hanging on our bones. And we become malnourished and we're putting on a good front for people, but inside we're starving to death. But the God we serve wants us, aren't you glad he wants us to be nourished? He doesn't want you emaciated, he doesn't want you malnourished. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 2, why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and let your soul delight itself in abundance. I may be wrong, but I think the old King James said, let it delight itself in fatness. Hallelujah. God wants our souls to live in abundance. But when we turn away from his word and forsake his word, we're going to have, in the spiritual sense, you know, malnutrition. We're going to be eating or feasting on that which does not give us life. But God says, come, feast on my goodness, that your soul might be nourished. Because there's nothing else to nourish our soul but the goodness of God, his word, his presence, and his truth. He goes on here in the psalm in some language that sounds a little strange to us, but he says, I am a pelican. You know, is he hallucinating here? I don't know. No, he's not. I'm like a pelican of the wilderness. I'm like an owl of the desert. I lie awake and am like a sparrow alone on the rooftop. Well, the pelican is a bird that lives in the marshy and desolate places in northern Galilee. And so we've been quite familiar with that particular bird. And then the owl is a bird often found among the ruins in the far eastern countries, just as you find an owl in an old abandoned barn or something here in our country. But both are illustrative of spiritual ruin. And that's what he's describing here. The sparrow, what about the sparrow here? What is that all about? Well, they're very common in Palestine, very common in the land of Israel. And as they are, you know, around here in Colorado Springs, you see the little sparrows flying around and all. But one commentator noted, however, because of the language here, he says in verse 7, he says, I lie awake and I'm like a sparrow alone on the housetop. And what does that have to do with sorrow? But one commentator noted that he himself, the commentator, often while he was in the land of Israel, heard sparrows which had lost their mate, uttering by the hour. As he says, their sad lament while seated on a housetop. And so it basically describes sort of a longing and a yearning in that person's heart, like a bird on top of a housetop just fluttering by itself, having lost its mate. And it describes our souls in the Lord, that when we get away from the Lord, that's what we are. We're just kind of fluttering around. We've lost our purpose. We've lost our reason really for living. And we're just kind of, you know, singing a song of sorrow. And that's the description that he's given us here of his condition, the psalmist is in verse 7. In verses 8 to 11, he says, my enemies reproach me all day long. Those who deride me swear an oath against me, for I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping. Because of your indignation and your wrath, for you have lifted me up and cast me away. My days are like a shadow that lengthens, and I wither away like grass. The reproach of his enemies, is relentless. Those who deride me, he says here in verse 8, those who deride me swear an oath against me. Literally, they use me as their curse. What does that mean? Well, it was a common form of cursing among Israelites. To wish a man the same fate which had befallen someone whose happiness was unhappiness was notorious. Place upon you the name of that person whose unhappiness was notorious. Like, for instance, Job. Someone says, I wish, you know, Job's circumstances upon you. I wish Job upon you. Job's name became a cursing in the sense to his friends. You know, obviously Job, God is against you, so your name has become a curse. And somebody said, you know, I wish upon you Al Pittman. Oh, don't you call me that. You know, so, you know, it became a curse. And his position, his condition was so low here, and he was so unpopular that his name is equivalent to that of a curse word. And there are some people that we have seen fall in the past or whatever, certain names that we don't want to be named. You know, nobody wants to name their child Judas. You know, that's a neat name. Let's name him Judas. Benedict Arnold, you know, let's name him, you know, whatever. Hey, let's name him Adolf Hitler, you know. Those are names that are synonymous with curses. And most people aren't going to name their children. I mean, your name is Adolf, God bless you, but at least it's not Hitler. Amen. So, but this is his condition. He's so low. His enemies reproach him all day long. No let up. 24/7. And those who deride me swear an oath against me. My name is as a curse to them. There is an unending, seems here, antagonism being poured out upon him every day by his enemies, outwardly and inwardly. And I think it's in the spiritual sense it illustrates or speaks of the fact that we also suffer under the relentless pressure of this world. And no matter how determined you are, the pressure, the world that we live in, it can get to you. That's why Jesus said in John, when he washed the disciples' feet the night he was betrayed, and he told Peter, he said, Peter, I need to wash your feet. Peter said, you're not going to wash my feet. He said, listen, you know, if you don't let me wash your feet, you can have no part with me. And then he went on, and Peter, of course, said, "Oh, Lord, wash my head and, you know, my whole body," or whatever, you know. And the Lord says, "No, you don't need everything washed. You're already clean. I just need to wash your feet." And I think it's illustrative of the fact that as we walk through this world, no matter how we try to stay away from the pressure of the world, we pick up stuff. And that's why we need to come to the Lord daily in our devotions, stay in his word and prayer, because if you don't let Jesus wash your feet, you can't have any part with him. And it takes humility to come and say, "God, I can't do this on my own. I need your help." But we need to be washed. The pressure of the world, it can be relentless. And the voice of the enemy, the one who condemns us, the voice of condemnation comes against us. And here he says that the condemnation is so great that in verse 9, "For I have eaten ashes like bread and mingled my drink with weeping." The unrelenting accusations and condemnation and the pressure of his situation has turned his bread into ashes. In the sense that the ashes of humiliation have become my food. And sometimes you go through a time where you've been so humiliated, or the pain is so great if you've had the unfortunate experience of going through a divorce or whatever, that sometimes you feel like you can eat the bitterness of your situation. You can almost taste it in the back of your throat. The pain is so great. And that's what he's saying here, is that my bread is like, you know, it's like I'm eating the ashes of humiliation every day. It's become my food. The voice of condemnation, the reproach of our enemy as Christians, the enemy of our soul, the spirit of the Antichrist. In our society today, it seems to hound us. And everywhere we turn, billboards, television, wherever you go, school, work, it just seems this relentless pressure is there, especially, and in this, the psalmist's case here, especially when we are the reason we're in the situation we're in. Just one thing for people to talk about, just another thing to know you're in that situation because you were stuck on stupid. And that's what where the psalmist is. He was carried away in captivity. He knows that he's getting what he deserves. And Israel is receiving what they deserve because they have rejected God.
Getting what they deserve. This reminds me of something Pastor Al has said often on this program. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Think about that in terms of eternity. We all deserve hell because of our wicked hearts. But God, in his mercy and grace, gives us heaven instead, if we'll simply have faith in him. This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.